Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Usually we talk a little Chattanooga FC on Thursdays during the 4 o'clock hour, but starting tomorrow we will have College Hall of Fame football coach Jim Donnan on to begin the weekly fun that we have during football season, breaking down the SEC. Of course, he'll have something instantly to weigh in on with Georgia quarterback Jamie Newman opting out of this season to focus on the NFL draft. So our usual fun with the Chattanooga FC has shifted to today. And we have, it's always great to welcome back defender Richard Dixon. Richard, how are you today?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. I know it's been a eventful past few days without you even taking the field. First off, this time last week, we had Jeremy Allenbaugh on, and I know that everybody, players, front office, everybody was excited about a match in front of fans against New Amsterdam. Of course, we all know now that New Amsterdam elected not to make the trip and talked about the reasoning being social justice or injustice, however you want to phrase that. Richard, first and foremost, because we'll get to the social justice matter in a second, but just your reaction when you learned that you were not going to have that match in front of fans.
Yeah, I mean, just like all the players, we were kind of disappointed, you know, in the beginning, because at the end of the day, it's, you know, we have spent the entire week preparing for the match and, you know, not just for this match particularly, but for the entire season has been on the road, you know, besides preseason, we've been on the road up in Michigan, and now having the opportunity to play a match in front of the home fans, obviously a bit modified with the crowd, but nonetheless, you know, it was a chance for us to showcase and to play in front of the fans and in our own city, on our home turf. And it was an exciting time, you know, for the team and for everybody in the club involved. We were all excited just to be home, you know, and represent our club and our city on our home turf with fans. Because that, at this time, as many people know, is a luxury, you know. And so we were just looking forward to that. So a little bit disappointed, but obviously for the reasons that we didn't play, we obviously 100% supported that reason. So, yeah.
All right, Richard, and take us from that step, because like I mentioned, New Amsterdam chose not to make the trip, sent out a statement, Chattanooga FC sent out a statement as far as the reason why. Last week, as we all know, you had NBA teams that hit the pause button. You had Major League Baseball that postponed some games, the National Hockey League. I mean, we were seeing this all over the Western Hemisphere. What led to Chattanooga FC kind of taking some steps and making a presentation in which you were front and center with some of your comments as far as where we are in this social landscape?
Right. I mean, obviously, we've seen it over, you know, all the leagues and, you know, different sports and stuff like that, and teams electing not to play just for the same cause and to send the same message. And for us, the reason why we wanted to take the field was because we saw it as a chance to send an even bigger message, you know, not to say that we're undermining other teams' approach and so on and so forth. We saw it as an opportunity of playing in front of 2,200 fans, right? And what better way just to get everybody together and to get everybody on the same page, and just to share some stories and, you know, open a conversation so that people can more understand what's going on. And for us, that was the main reason why we wanted to take the pitch and we wanted to play. It was never about, you know, going and having a regular Saturday night match underneath the lights. It was never about that for us. It was about using 2,200 fans to send a bigger message and to kind of get people on the same page and, you know, have some conversations, and just so people can understand why, you know, why are players doing these things all over the country and all over the world in different sports. And I feel like if we could get people to understand the why, then people would have a better understanding, you know, and maybe be a little bit more open-minded, so on and so forth. So that's the main reason why we wanted to take that approach. And that's the reason why the club put out the statement that the club did.
You're listening to Richard Dixon, a defender with the Chattanooga FC. Of course, CFC had its match postponed with New Amsterdam from New York last weekend, did not make the trip. You're listening to Richard here on Press Row on ESPN 105, won the zone.
I mean, to follow up a little bit on that, Richard, and thanks again for the time. I mean, you've always been wonderful to us here on Press Row. Do you think it is more impactful to not play as a sign of protest, or to play and show that maybe the only place in society that people see color the least is in the locker room, because the only color that matters is the shirt you put on your chest?
I mean, that's a brilliant point, which just drives it home, you know, and that's one of the main reasons why we did want to play, because at the end of the day, whenever, you know, teams decide not to play and teams decide to protest the way that teams have been, you know, and when I say teams, I mean us, you know,
right,
as well. When
no,
we go
no,
out and we
yeah.
take a knee before kickoff, that's a part of what every team has been doing. And so we decided, you know, what better way for us to go out and show we're advocating for peace, we're advocating for love, we're advocating for unity. What better way to go out and show it, you know, with a team of 24, 25 men, you know, from different race, different backgrounds, from all over the world, coming together to play the game that they love, you know, and just to represent the city, to represent one cause. What better way to do that? And, you know, that's the message that we really wanted to send. You know, it was one of peace, it was one of love, and it was one of unity. And we felt that if we addressed it that way, then people would kind of understand why, because at the end of the day, whenever, you know, fans watch the games and they see players taking a knee, or whenever fans see that, okay, the game is off, okay, I guess we're not going to watch CFC play this weekend, they still have the question, you know, they still don't know why. They don't know why. Why are these guys not playing? Why are they protesting the way that they are? So we feel that if we could have addressed the why, then that would kind of open up, you know, a place for conversation. And, you know, when people understand the why, then they can now understand why they're taking knees, why are they not playing, why are they doing this, why are they doing that. And so it just answers a little bit more question, you know. And so
right.
Now maybe we can have that uncomfortable conversation like I always talk about.
Well, it's been too long since we've had you. I think the last time we had you on, you were telling us that your mom was in town and sharing some of that good Jamaican food with us. So I don't know if we've spoken to you since you guys have been out there and not only played but had some success. You maybe don't hear as many cheers as a defender of the ball going in the back of the net, but you hear a whole bunch of the oohs and ahs when you deny somebody. What has it been like trying to generate energy without the fans, especially the great crowds here in Chattanooga?
Yeah, it's been challenging, you know. It just feels like every day is a training drill, you know, or every match is just a closed door friendly. So it's a bit different, challenging. Not to say that we're a special case.
Right.
Every other team around the country is going through the same thing. I think a lot of the players, myself included, you know, part of the reason why we decided to come to CFC was because of the amazing support and the amazing fan base that, you know, we've seen from all around the country, you know, whether it was 7 years ago or 5 years ago. We've seen it from the outside looking in and wanted to be a part of it. And now we're finally a part of it, and not having it, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, we certainly appreciate the fans, and we would love to be able to play in front of a sold-out Finley Stadium right now. But at the end of the day, the situation that we're in right now doesn't allow for that. So we just have to do the best of what we have.
Okay, Richard, I think this is a fair comparison. I grew up right outside of Atlanta, so when Chattanooga people complain about traffic, I just giggle to myself. When Chattanooga people complain about the heat, considering you grew up in Jamaica, what is your initial reaction?
I get that question a lot. You know, I've lived in the Midwest for 4 years, and it's quite hot there as well. But whenever people complain about the heat, I mean, I always just tell them, ask them this question: would you rather it be 100 degrees for the rest of your life or 30 degrees for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Because you can always cool down, but you know it's hard to warm up and go outside and enjoy the outdoors whenever it's 30 degrees. But for me personally, I grew up in the heat, and so I know that's all I know. Whenever it gets below 60 degrees, I'm the guy in, you know, gloves and Under Armour and all that. And so I always get made fun of. So, you know, I do get it though. It gets hot sometimes, but when it's too hot in the summer, people complain. Whenever it's the winter comes around, people also complain. So you can't please everybody.
You're listening to Richard Dixon, the CFC defender here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Richard, I'm curious, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are, having grown up in Jamaica, when you came to the States, how is it different from a race standpoint? What did you kind of learn, and what did you have to adjust to in terms of life living in the United States compared to life living in Jamaica?
You know, that's a funny question. So I grew up on the far west tip of Jamaica, in a small town, Green Island. We're about 10 minutes from the Grill.
Okay.
Which is it's the second biggest tourist area in Jamaica. And so, you know, you land in Montego Bay, you go an hour west and you're around all the big sandals, beaches, Rio, the biggest hotels on the island. So I've always been around people, you know, from many different races and backgrounds, you know, just coming to vacation in Jamaica and they want to come spend time with the locals. And I've always been around, you know, just people in general. And, you know, if you've ever been to Jamaica, you know that we love, absolutely love anybody that's different. Foreigners, you go to Jamaica, you get treated like a king, you know, and that's just the kind of people we are. We're loving, we're welcoming, and we just want you to have a good time. And so that's what I come from, you know. I come from a people who we go by the motto, out of many, one people, you know, peace, love, and unity. And so I've always, you know, had that outlook on life. And so leaving Jamaica, coming to the U.S., and you know, obviously, you know, you get a little culture shock, you know, with the environment and different food and so on and so forth. But, you know, I think that, you know, my parents and my family that I grew up around, they did a great job of preparing me, you know, for coming over and making the transition. Because at the end of the day, we're all just people, you know, whether it's you're black, white, brown or whatever. We're all just people, and we all just want to live and love one another genuinely deep down inside. And I wholeheartedly believe that. And so moving to the U.S., besides, you know, getting adjusted to the environment and the food and so on and so forth, it wasn't a big adjustment for me because I've always been around people of many different races, just because of the part of the country that I lived in Jamaica. You know, I moved in Florida, then I went up to University in Pensacola. I spent two summers playing PDL in Jackson, Mississippi, one summer in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, you know, and so I've always been in places where, you know, I was the minority, and I've always gotten along with people wherever I go. And so, you know, it's, you know, people say a lot of the times that they don't see color, but obviously you have to see color, you know. Whenever you meet somebody, you have to acknowledge that, you know, they look different and so on and so forth. But deep down inside, I think the personal connection is what we all should strive for, which is what I strive for. Whenever I meet anybody, you know, it's the human being first. And so that's just how it is. That's how it is with me. And that's how it is with many of my friends that I meet today, because I feel like it's genuinely a human connection.
All right, Richard, before we let you go, you've got the New York Cosmos coming in, not this weekend but next weekend, right? I guess you'll just have to kind of recycle that excitement that you were gearing up for before the New Amsterdam visit, right, with fans at Fenley?
Yeah, so I mean, we have been waiting to be at home, you know, and we're excited. We're prepared. I think this week, obviously, we were supposed to be off, and you know, we get a chance to kind of get some guys healthy, and get more players available for the Cosmos game. And then obviously we'll play Cosmos Saturday and New Amsterdam on Wednesday again, which will be kind of a tough schedule now going into a fall tournament. But, you know, the fact that we're at home, it means so much to us, you know, as players. And so I hope it means the same to the fans. And, you know, we're hoping to see not a full capacity because that's not what's allowed, but, you know, whatever numbers we're allowed to have in the stadium, I hope that we sell out on game day next weekend when we play the Cosmos.
Well, listen, Richard, thank you so much as always. Always enjoy having you here on Press Row. Best of luck next week, and look forward to seeing. I think Jeremy said up to 2,200 fans would be there. I hope that's the case because the larger the better, but we know it has to be limited. But anyway, we always appreciate you visiting here with us on Press Row.
Appreciate you guys having me. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Richard Dixon of the Chattanooga FC, 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.